You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Hour number two on the Roto Experts. It's Mike and George. We're going to talk flex drafts in the next segment. There's some game action last night, some game action today. And game action last night, man. If there's ever a reminder as to why you don't, as to why not to watch preseason games or put too much stock in it, last night was the night. You could submit that as evidence, George. The 7-3 Jets Titans games. I'm watching it right now, by the way. I wanted all that time.
Still
back.
Watching the Jets.
Yeah.
It's 7-0 Jets about halfway through the second quarter, by the way.
Yeah. The only action is another field goal. That's it. It was just not great football. Just the offense. Look. Here's the one thing I'll say about the Jets. We make a lot of fun of them, right? And people are saying, why are these guys opening up an hour at a fantasy football show talking about the Jets? Because I'm trying to – I've made fun of them for most of my life. But particularly this season, there's been a lot of fodder to make fun of the Jets. They've traded away every offensive asset that they have, and the ones that they didn't are injured. So – there's not going to be a lot there. We're talking about their over-under on touchdowns being in like the 22 range, which you can do the math, touchdown and a half per game. People are saying that they can challenge the 92 Seahawks, who are the most inept offensive team in a 16-game schedule. They scored 140 points over the course of a 16-game season. Those quarterbacks were Stan Gelbaugh, Dan McGuire, maybe Kelly Stouffer, I think. I was listening to somebody talk about it the other day. Anyway, the Jets could challenge those guys. A little harder in today's NFL to be that inept, but we'll see. Anyway, George, that defensive line is good. And those starters didn't even play last night. That defensive line can be legit. So I just wonder if they can limit teams and kind of like shorten games in that way, create good field position for the offense. Is that a possibility?
Well, sure. Anything's a possibility. Some of the Jets get to you, man.
No.
Look at the bright side of things.
I was watching Leonard Williams and Mo Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson and sort of having a good time on the sidelines. They were in uniform, but they didn't really play much, if at all. I don't think Leonard Williams played at all. But I was just saying, you know what? Maybe there's something there. And they only allowed 3 points last night. Obviously, it's all backups. And Tywan Taylor, by the way, is the one guy that looked pretty good for the Titans. He's a rookie. He's a rookie, and I think there's a little bit of something there with Tywan Taylor, whom I drafted in our Dynasty League.
Yeah, the problem with your little theory about the Jets' defense, I guess, controlling the game is they're going to be on the field a lot.
I know.
A whole lot. You're talking 35, 38 minutes a game. That wouldn't shock me.
Oh, man.
You know, it's somewhere up there, so... I mean, maybe they could do this for the first 4 to 6 games, then they're going to be dead. They're just going to be dead.
If they have to be on the field 35 minutes a game, we got really low total on wins, George. Really low.
I'm not so sure where that win comes from, Mike.
Over, under, 3.5.
Under.
Under. 2.5.
Under.
Whoa. Harsh words. We're going to talk about the flex drafts after this and stop talking about the Jets, I promise. It's Mike and George after this. Mike and George back on the Roto Experts. A couple things I'd like to tell you is please follow us on Twitter. Go to at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. You can give us a call at any time at 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. And also, you should be going to rotoexperts.com. George wrote a good article I posted like late Friday about the fallout of the Sammy Watkins and Jordan Matthews trades, as well as the Zeke Elliott suspension. Obviously, we will stay on top of that and give updates as necessary, but rotoexperts.com, specifically George, is a good place to find that content. Beyond that, go to the rotoexperts.com and please take a look at the exclusive Edge draft package. It's going to give you a real edge on your opponents, especially in those home leagues where we can provide a little bit of an edge. It is rankings, it's projections, it is strategies, both auction, PPR, standard, a wide variety of topics. So please go in there. You can enter code, I believe, the King for a special discount of 10%. So that being said, George, we are here to talk about, by the way, it is hot in this studio. We are live from Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan, in the shadow of Madison Square Garden in Rock and Riley's, and there is no AC working yet again, so it keeps my takes hot, George, and let's get into it. The flex draft was yesterday, two flex drafts yesterday. This is it's called the Fantasy League of Experts. Fantasy Leagues of Experts. There's a couple of different formats. The one we're going to review right now is a PPR and Super Flex format. So I mentioned all the names: Chris Harris, Jake Seeley, Jarrett Behar, Jen Ryan, Brandon Marianne Lee, Adam Ronis, Tim Heaney, Joe Pisapia, Scott Pianowski, Matt Modica, who's going to be in studio here in a little bit, Mike Florio, and Mike Clay. So nothing crazy out of the gate. Le'Veon Bell goes one, David Johnson two, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and the first quarterback goes five to Brandon Marianne Lee. She takes Aaron Rodgers. So took five picks, but you know, we're cruising right along. Tom Brady goes also in the first round. Drew Brees also goes in the first round. No quarterback then taken until our very own Matt Modica, who took his boy, LeSean McCoy. He's a Bills fan. He took LeSean McCoy. He went with Russell Wilson as the fourth quarterback off the board in round two.
Yeah, not a big fan of either move. I think, you're not going to, it's a super flex. This is, we talked about a two-quarterback league yesterday. That was a draft you and I were in the J&J two-quarterback invitational.
That's right.
That's a different kind of league. Two-quarterback leagues are different from super flex leagues. You know, two-quarterback leagues, because you have to start a second quarterback, you need to take them early and often. Super flex, you can be a little bit more patient. You know, because if you don't get a good second quarterback, you can plug in a wide receiver or running back into that slot, and you'll still make up at least probably 2/3 of the points. So it's not as important. McCoy, a 10th overall instead of Mike Evans. I got to go Evans there.
And Jordy.
I don't have a choice but to go. Yeah, I'd probably gone Jordy over him as well, but definitely Evans. I have Evans as possibly the number three wide receiver. I might have gone Evans over Julio Jones. So I definitely would have done that. And if I'm taking a quarterback, the fourth overall quarterback is certainly not Russell Wilson. You know, I would have taken Matt Ryan, who lasted about eight picks later. Mariota went actually fifth quarterback overall. That's a little bit of a surprise as well.
Yeah, so the quarterbacks go in order: Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, then Mariota five, then Matt Ryan six. Keep going. There's a long time there. See, Modica, that's why Modica could have waited, because Cousins goes seventh, then Winston eighth, then Modica, our friend and colleague, takes Andrew Luck in the fourth round as the ninth quarterback. So he's got his two quarterbacks in rounds two and four, and it's Wilson and Luck. So
he hopes.
What?
He hopes.
Yeah. And then Dak Prescott, Phil Rivers goes 11, Cam Newton 12, Matt Stafford 13, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger. That's when everybody started to go. Roethlisberger going 15th off the board. So, do you have Mike Evans in front of A.J. Green?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's all that close. I have it Antonio Brown, Beckham, and then I have Evans.
Okay. And then Julio, then A.J. Green?
Yes. I mean, Julio, listen, I love Julio. That is another guy. Once he gets hurt, guess whose fault it is? It's yours. We all know he's going to get hurt. He's going to miss games or time in games. He's going to be very frustrating at times with that foot injury. It's not going to heal. Yeah, maybe he gets through all 16 games. Maybe he doesn't. So first round, I'm not going to feel the need to go out and grab him. Not when I have other great wide receivers. Mike Evans is going to have a big year. I know he has issues with his drops. But the amount of throws coming his way, targets, is going to be up there, because that's going to be a throwing team.
Do you have Jordy firmly in front of Michael Thomas?
Yes. Michael Thomas is going to have to prove it to me that he can do this kind of damage when he is now the number one wide receiver. No Brandon Cooks to take away defensive attention. I like Willie Snead. I like Brandon Coleman. But they're not, they're not someone the defense are truly worried about. Thomas, they are going to be worried about, because he could be a game breaker here. He could be ready, Mike, to make that next step into elite status wide receiver one. But I'm not banking on it. Not over Jordy Nelson, who's done it year in and year out.
You keep mentioning Brandon. You mentioned Brandon Coleman a couple of times this show. I would just caution people that it seems like Ted Ginn, from a lot of experts' perspective, Ted Ginn is kind of taking over that third wide receiver role, or at least we'll see the third most targets in that wide receiving core. I don't know about Brandon Coleman. I think the league would have to be pretty deep in order to snag him. So Ted Ginn has picked up a surprising amount of steam in this preseason. I think I just saw him ranked like 52nd of the wide receivers. So you can do the math in your 12-team league. Ted Ginn is, you know, he's a number five wide receiver.
Yeah. And hey, you put up Brandon Coleman, buddy boy.
I know. That's my fault.
I just mentioned him in this little thing. Brandon Ginn, I mean, listen, 50 wide receiver five is about right. He's a big play guy. He could win you some weeks. I like him in a best ball. Like him in best ball a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
As far as a redraft league, I'm going to have some issues with him starting week in and week out because you know there's going to be some dud weeks in there. There will be some weeks where he catches three balls for, you know, 97 yards and two touchdowns. That won't shock me either. But there'll also be those weeks where it's three catches for 31 yards.
I'll give sorry, I took a bite to eat. That's unprofessional radio move, so I apologize. But it's hot in the studio.
That you do each and every week.
I know. It's hot in the studio.
I wait for
it. Cool down. Yeah.
What are you eating?
Fruit. I do like a fruit cup situation to keep myself healthy in the morning. I don't want to do bagels or any of that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to cut some weight before the season, George, because inevitably I'll put a few pounds back on. So I'm trying to cut like that.
Do we have a weigh-in? Does Mike Cardano have us having a weigh-in at
much like
September 9th?
I try to mirror the lifestyles of the NFL players that we cover by trying to cut weight in the preseason and get in a little bit better shape. I probably should have done it before training camp started, but anyway, here we are. This is my training camp. So
do we have weight clothes on our contract? Am I getting like a $10,000 bonus if I get down for 5 pounds?
All day.
Mike,
give me the weight clause.
To me, Cardano.
Yeah, Cardano, hit me up on Twitter. If any kind of weight bonuses, I'm in. My wife's a dietitian. She can figure out. She can come up with a plan to have me cut 5 or 7 or 10 pounds. So anyway, I'll go to Jake Seeley's team for a minute. I'm jumping around a little bit, but nature of covering a draft. Jake Seeley, to his credit, he puts his money where his mouth is. He drafted David Johnson, number 2 overall. That's easy. But he's got Matt Ryan, number 6 QB. He goes Joe Mixon. He's the 11th running back off the board. That's his third pick. Davante Adams, that's his fourth pick. It's the 15th wide receiver off the board and his first wide receiver. Then he's got Tyrod Taylor as his second QB. Then he's got Emmanuel Sanders. I've heard Jake talk about every single one of these players. David Johnson, anybody can talk about him, but every single one of these players that people are sleeping on them or you need to own the guy in order to break out. I guess the only surprise there is that he hasn't changed his prediction on Tyrod Taylor even with the loss of Sammy Watkins.
Well, you know, there's people have thrown some stats here. Fantasy wise, points per game with Sammy Watkins, it was 18.8 for Taylor. Without him, it's 18.3. So he doesn't seem to miss him. I mean, some of his value comes with his legs. So without Watkins, you can make a little theory he has to run more. You know, and now he's got Matthews, so he doesn't really lose all of Watkins. Matthews is not Sammy Watkins, but he's a decent wide receiver. So it's not like he doesn't have anybody to replace him. My issue is going to be it's a completely new receiving core. And we joked about it yesterday. These guys are all sort of slot guys. Who's playing the outside here? Can Zay Jones make that transition?
No. If you
trade with Jordan Matthews and now you're going to move him to the outside, and we've been talking about now all season how Matthews, we thought would have a big year. At least I thought would have a big year in Philly because they put him back in the slot where he's more comfortable, where he's very good at. And now you're going to move him back to the outside maybe? And I don't know this. You know, I said it yesterday. It's really hard for me to rank Matthews until we know where they're going to play him. But this would seem to be a mistake, wouldn't it?
How about this for a theory? The Bills know they're going to move on from Tyrod Taylor. They know he's got value in his running plays. They're going to call him more running plays because what do they need to protect him for?
Oh, I can buy that. I don't think they're worried about Taylor being. I don't think they're worried about him being hurt because I agree with you. I don't think he's in their plans for long term. And if he gets hurt this year, we get a better draft pick. No issues there either.
Yep. So maybe that counteracts whatever he lost in Sammy Watkins. We'll keep talking about the flex leagues. Why not? Matt Medica is going to come in here a little bit. We'll grade his team. It's Mike and George. Come back. We're talking flex leagues after this. theme music. I like it. It's getting me amped up for the for this Sunday. We're on till 9, just a heads up, and then Fantasy Football Gold, 9 to 12, and then Al Melchior from 12 to 2. After that, it's Fantasy Football Frenzy. So Tony and Matt will take you for 3 hours from 9 to 12, starting in about a half an hour, and Matt's going to be in here soon. In this piping hot studio, which is keeping the takes hot, George. So as we continue through...
Don't you have a thermostat like 10 feet in front of you?
Yeah, it's broken. You think I wouldn't turn on the air conditioner and I'm just suffering in this heat?
Well, hey, Mike, you never know. I mean, hey.
You don't have a lot of faith in me. But they've tried to fix the AC a bunch of times. It doesn't work. I swear that our network, both our radio network and TV network, are the very tops of efficiency and technology. But, you know, we just can't get the thermostat working. So I don't want the fact that we can't get the AC working to be indicative of our possible ineptitude in predicting fantasy football success. These are mutually exclusive issues. I just want to put that out there, George.
I'm very glad.
So as we continue through the draft, tight ends. Travis Kelce is the second tight end off the board, middle of the fifth round. You know, I've been in so many mock drafts and other drafts where Kelce is pushing way up and people are trying to draft those top three tight ends. It's now down to top two because Reed is hurt. Obviously, we mentioned earlier he went last pick of the sixth round, and that's just a dart throw because who knows what's up with his foot. But Gronkowski obviously went first, and I can't seem to find him anywhere on here. I'm just not good at looking at this on the grid. But in any event, Travis Kelce went middle of the fifth round. You okay with that in a PPR league?
Well, no, because by the way, Gronkowski went first, last pick of the third round.
See it.
No, because I'm not going to take a tight end early, so I'm not taking a tight end in round five. I have no problem with Kelce being the second tight end. I have him ranked as a second tight end as well. I think he should get plenty of balls there with Alex Smith not wanting to throw the ball into the secondary. But I'm not taking a tight end in round five. Tight end's deep. I mean, why not wait a little while longer? Even if you go past the Reed's still going to be taken early, even though I don't want to take it. He's still going to be taken early. You know, go past the Reed's. Go past the Olsons. Even go past the Jimmy Graham's. You know, I'll take a Zach Ertz. Kyle Rudolph. Guys are going to catch a ton of balls. A lot of people believe the beneficiary of Jordan Matthews being gone now in Philly is not Nelson Aguilar. It's going to be Zach Ertz that he'll get all those passes here. So I'm going to wait forever on tight end. Jack Doyle is somebody, assuming Luck comes back, I don't not mind. Martellus Bennett. Tyler Eifert. I'll take a shot at him as well. I'm going to wait till minimum round 8, round 9.
George, I'm completely with you on this. And I've said it on a show a few weeks back. I was working with Jake and Corey and I think Matt Modica on like a Fantasy Football Frenzy show. I came in and did a midweek show with them. And I think people glamorize the tight end position too much. There's a lot of touchdowns in it, right? But so many players are touchdown dependent. I get that people want to reach for Gronk and Kelce because they can be difference makers, especially Kelce with Macklin gone now. That role could conceivably increase, especially down near the goal line. So, but what I think people fail to realize is that beyond those first couple, there's not a ton of receptions from guys. Dennis Pitta led tight ends last year with 86 catches. He's not obviously going to be on the field this year or maybe ever again. It's unlikely, at least. So I am fine to wait. I've basically been punting the position all preseason because guys emerge from nowhere. Guys get hurt. There's so much touchdown dependency that from week to week, I can pull kind of a streaming move and get through it. You can pull the Mike Cardano move where you draft three tight ends and then just hope you got a couple of them right or got one of them right and hang on to it. I say that in jest because he did that in a league with us last year. He drafted three tight ends before he even like filled out his running backs. But in any event, I've just been punting. I'm fine to take guys like Jack Doyle and Hunter Henry, and I got Delanie Walker late in a draft, like in the 10th round. That's basically what I'm looking at it, George. I'm going to wait until I'll probably be drafting at the back end of that position. I'll be the 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th guy drafting a tight end. In some instances, I've been in drafts where guys were taking a second tight end before I took my first.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not... This is not to say, Mike, that I wouldn't take a top tight end, but he'd have to falter. The value would have to be there. It's sort of the same way I look at quarterbacks. Yeah, I'm not saying I would never draft a Drew Brees, but I'm not doing it in round three. If he falls to me around six, round seven, then I might take that quarterback.
Yeah.
If, you know, Gronkowski's not going to fall, but, you know, if Kelce or Olsen round six, those guys are available, round seven, then I might take them. There's a whole bunch of people who believe, like me, that you should wait on tight ends. Well, then the value might be there at the end of round six, round seven. Then I can pull that trigger. But if not, I want to load up on running backs and wide receivers. We know those are the positions, specifically running backs, where the value is going to run out real quick. You're going to get hurt a lot at running back, so you need the depth there. Those are positions I want to load up on. I want to get three, four, five guys there as quick as I can.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I took Brees in an experts draft. It was the Sirius XM Invitational that I was in with some of these same guys that have been in these flex league drafts. Scott Pianowski, I believe, was in that league with me. Kay Adams and Mike Clay was actually, he was broadcasting it, but a couple other guys. Jamie Eisenberg, some names that you may know from other outlets. In any event, nobody took Drew Brees, and it was the sixth round that he was sitting there. So I was like, all right, this is the time that I can take him. This is the time that I reach a little bit for a quarterback. But that's not, I put reach in quotes because it's not a reach. That's about where he's going, and it's probably later than he's going. So I'm going to extract a little bit of value out of Drew Brees and not reach up and take him in the third round. I don't need to have a quarterback early, but I also don't need to be taking a guy that I consider to be a number four wide receiver before I take Drew Brees.
Right. I mean, like I said, there are exceptions to every rule. I mean, just because we say, I'm not drafting a quarterback till round 10, round 11, if the value's there round 6, round 7, yeah, I'm going to do it. If A-Rod's sitting there at the end of round 5, I'm probably going to pull the trigger there because the value is too good. But generally, when we talk about these things, we talk about where ADPs go. You know, A-Rod's going in round 3. I'm not drafting A-Rod in a one quarterback league in round 3. It's not going to happen. I'm going to wait and get my value later because quarterback is so deep. I'll take Mariota or Cousins, which I'm able to get, it seems like, in every league in round 10. And I'll take that in every league. And I'll be very happy because that means the first nine rounds, I got a whole bunch of running backs and wide receivers. And that's really how I want to build my team.
True. So I'll go back to this draft. Again, it's the Super Flex League. Carson Palmer was the 20th quarterback off the board, George. You mentioned earlier that's probably about where you have him. Maybe a guy or two less than that. Carson Wentz went right in front of him. Eli was a couple of quarterbacks in front of him. Andy Dalton, a couple of quarterbacks in front of him as well. So I kind of like the value that Mike Clay got there. His team lines up Jordy Nelson, Devontae Freeman, Rob Gronkowski. He actually was the one that took him. DeAndre Hopkins is the 14th wide receiver off the board. Carson Palmer, he loves Marshawn Lynch. I've heard Mike Clay talk about it a lot. That's the 20th running back off the board. He took Flacco with his second QB. That's pretty risky. He really waited.
Yeah, you look at this team.
He really waited on QB.
In a Superflex league, you can't do what he did. I don't see how he can win. Superflex league, you need at least one good quarterback, and he doesn't have it. Flacco as his two quarterbacks. I mean, he took Nelson 12th overall, Freeman 13th overall. He better hope those guys have monster seasons because they have to really, really drive his team. If Gronkowski has team games, that would be a bonus as well. Cause he went about it in a way I never would have done it in a Superflex league. It's tough. In a league in which you could start two quarterbacks, you generally have to have quarterbacks. Is you cannot survive with a 20th quarterback overall and a 24th quarterback overall. It's not the right way to go about things.
He took Trubisky late, which is okay. It's a flyer in the 15th round. And, you just start to get the sinking feeling that as this preseason goes on, as much as the Bears are going to say, no, it's Mike Glennon, we're going to put Trubisky on ice for a year, I just feel like it's going to fall apart at some point, and Mitch Trubisky will be in there at, like, week 9. I just get that feeling.
Oh, I agree.
It's just
if
a
not
gut.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, I picked a random week, but it could be before. So I think Mike Clay's strategy here is to, I think he is convinced that Carson Palmer is a home run at the 20th quarterback, and he's a QB1. I will say that after week 5 last year, Carson Palmer was a QB1. So week 6 on, he played in that QB1 category. The Cardinals didn't have a great season, but it wasn't a disaster. 7-8-1. They lost a bunch of close games. They obviously had injuries. They had to release Michael Floyd in the middle of the year. John Brown was sick/injured throughout the year. He didn't have a lot to work with, and they just didn't play their best. But when a team has a rough year and they're 7-8-1, I tend to think that points towards the positive during the next season. So I'm on board with Carson Palmer vastly outperforming his expectations, much like Matt Ryan did last year. That's all I'll say about that, George.
He went for quantity over quality.
He did.
You know, I live for two quarterback leagues. This is going to be rough.
Yeah.
I mean, you think Palmer, Flacco,
the Flacco
Kaiser,
thing worries me more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at Palmer's a fine quarterback too. I would have no problems. I mean, I root for him as a quarterback too, QB league, but a quarterback one. We don't even know what Flacco's going to do. Kaiser and Trubisky are just pure rolls of a dice. Start both. Let's see what happens here. You know, and I don't see either one. Even if they start, I don't see either one being truly fantasy worthy here. Like I said, I would never build my team this way. I'd have to spend at least one of those top two picks on a quarterback.
The problem I have with Mike's strategy here is it's a 16-round draft. He's got four quarterbacks. A quarter of his team are quarterbacks, two of whom are not going to start the season, most likely.
Well, I think he realized his problem as well. That's why he went for quantity. Hopefully one of these guys pans out, or he's going to play the matchup game each week.
But you now know, he's so thin at these other positions.
I agree. It causes problems when you do. This is why you need strong quarterbacks in a league in which you could start two of them.
I'm going to ask you about a player that I like that seems to be sliding in drafts in PPR formats. You get a lot of miles out of this guy that took his talents to South Beach right out of college. So we'll talk about Jarvis Landry when we come back after the break. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica is going to be joining us pretty soon. Come in and talk about his team, pick on his team. But, George, one guy I saw slide in those drafts, been sliding a little bit, and a guy that I try to take advantage of in PPR formats is Jarvis Landry. He goes here middle of the sixth round, the 26th wide receiver off the board. Now, in rankings on Fantasy Pros, he is... Excuse me. He's exactly that, 26th. So he goes as anticipated by some experts' rankings. But I know there's a change at quarterback, but does it really matter when you have a guy that just hammers catches every single week? I love Jarvis Landry. I know he doesn't get in the end zone, but when it comes to a PPR league, I like to have him as my wide receiver too almost every time.
I don't. You know, I don't like guys who are, he's pitched one dimension. He doesn't catch touchdowns. At least he didn't under Tannehill. You know, maybe that'll change with Cutler. Maybe it won't. My other problem is this. Cutler has a stronger arm. He's going to throw the ball down the field. You know, he takes more chances. That's good or bad the way you look at it, but that could mean less catches for Jarvis Landry. That being said, if you pencil in Landry for 90 catches, maybe now it's 80. So I'm not talking a big drop here. And it wouldn't shock me also if maybe Landry gets an extra touchdown or two with Cutler. So I have dropped Landry a few slots. I am at 29, so pretty much similar to everybody else. But I dropped Landry a couple of slots, and I've raised actually Stills and Parker for that reason. I think Cutler's going to take more deep shots, and he's also better at the deep ball than Tannehill was. The big knock on Tannehill for a while was, you know, especially when Mike Wallace was there, is he just couldn't get the ball to him. He would either underthrow him, overthrow him. There was no chemistry there. He had issues there. I don't think Cutler will have those issues.
So Jarvis Landry finished 14th in PPR format last year. 94 catches, 1,136 yards, the four touchdowns on the 131 targets. George, if I told you that Jarvis Landry's 288 catches in his first three seasons are the most of all time, would you say that'd be true or false?
I would say that's going to be true.
It is true. He's tied with Odell Beckham for the first. Ironically, those guys are like best friends and teammates at LSU, and they tied for the most catches of all time, 288 through their first three seasons. I just think Landry's a PPR monster in that sense. I can understand the adjustments that people are trying to make. I'm going to take advantage of Jarvis Landry. I'll definitely draft him before 26 every time. I'm going to draft him before 24th wide receiver off the board every time in most instances. Obviously, it depends how a draft is going. But I'll take him as the number two. I might even have him as a number one in one league, which isn't ideal, obviously, but I may have loaded up at running backs. I'm going to have to start really organizing my rosters because the mock drafts and the other drafts have been flying fast and furious. 2QB, super flex, all this other kind of stuff. It's that time of year where you got to start getting organized and figuring out who you have in other leagues. George, it's important for me and for you because and anybody out there playing in multiple leagues because, as we said yesterday, we talked about diversification. You want to make sure you're not hammering the same guys in every league, and I can tell you just off the top of my head, I'm deep on Christian McCaffrey at this point.
I don't think I have McCaffrey in any league, and when I say I don't think, I mean I don't. It's not on purpose. It's just that he's going a little earlier than I'm willing to grab him here. I'm like you, Mike. I like to spread my risk out a little bit, but only if it's about even. Mariota and Cousins, they're both available in round 10. I have split it up with both of them. But I wouldn't take Stafford over Mariota because I have Mariota in three leagues. If that's the choices, then I'm taking Mariota. I'll take him in six leagues. Don't care. That's just the way it worked out. But if it's even coin flip, then I tend to diversify, spread the risk out a little bit.
Well, I'll say this. Matt Modica is going to come in to defend his Russell Wilson over Matt Ryan pick. So we get to hear that in the next segment. So we've got about 15 minutes left in the show.
Sure, with Scott Engel making that pick?
Scott, look, Scott does a nice job with the Seahawks and trying to say he'd be impartial. But when push comes to shove, he's going to have...
He's taking a Seahawk.
Tyler Lockett. He's going to have Eddie Lacy. He's going to have CJ ProSize, whom I like a lot, so I can't criticize him for that. But I just like ProSize a lot in PPR formats. I think he's going to add value all year long, even if he's not the starting running back for a long stretch of time. Does that make sense?
Sure. You can go with that. I think it's a mess there at the Seattle backfield. Lacy, ProSize, Rolls, they might all have some value. I mean, it'd be good for the Seahawks, but bad for fantasy.
So keep going around this draft. I'm going to take a look at we talked about Jake Seeley's team, talked about Mike Clay's team. Matt Modica, we didn't get into the depth of his team, but he started LeSean McCoy, then he went Russell Wilson. He's going to defend taking him over Matt Ryan or Marcus Mariota shortly. He went Christian McCaffrey in the third round. He took Andrew Luck in the fourth, Allen Robinson in the fifth. That is a guy that is... You know, he's still going as a wide receiver too, George, but people are really scared of Allen Robinson and a potential lack of volume there.
I don't blame them. He got him in round five. It's not like he spent the capital.
I don't have a problem with that pick.
Wide receiver two. He's a wide receiver two overall, but for Matt, he is a wide receiver one. There could be some props there. Matt still gets Sammy Watkins time.
Yeah, he did.
Good for you, Matt. If you're looking at Matt's team, if I'm going to pick one player, it's Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck plays week one as Andrew Luck, Matt's going to be fine. If he doesn't, Matt's in a lot of trouble.
I think you're right. Did he pick up a third quarterback here? I'm not seeing one.
Hoyer. He got Hoyer later.
Oh, there you go.
You got Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer. Got it. All right, so that helps him. There's at least a safety net there, but it'll be Russell Wilson and Brian Hoyer, which is not great. So here's what I'll say. Getting Larry – yes, he waited on wide receiver, but it went Allen Robinson, Sammy Watkins, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to say one of those first two guys doesn't work out. Just, I think the odds.
Yeah, Garcon too, which I happen to love Garcon.
Right, and then goes Garcon in the fourth. So I think Larry Fitzgerald is still being criminally underrated. I know it's not sexy or people are bored with him or whatever. I'm making a living off of Larry Fitzgerald the last couple of years because he led the NFL in receptions last year. I'm not suggesting he's going to do that again this year, but he could be in the conversation. And as his wide receiver three, it's a great pick. The 33rd wide receiver off the board, I'm taking Larry Fitzgerald before that every time. Much like I'm doing with Landry, I'll take Larry Fitzgerald before that every time. And by the way, last year that amounted to 202 catches. Is that right? Is that bad math?
It seems like people would rather be a year early on Fitzgerald than a year late.
Yeah.
So he keeps falling. Because people don't want to take him the one year he's done. He falls apart, you know, for 48 catches, and he just has nothing left. So that seems like the way people are treating Fitzgerald. Don't blame them. Personally, I'm right in the middle. I'm not high on him, not low on him. I have him 18th overall. So, the fact that he goes at wide receiver 33 is a shock.
Yeah. And then Garcon at wide receiver 35. Matt went with like a zero wide receiver strategy out of the gate in this Superflex League, and it worked out for him. He goes Tyler Eifert, so he's got another risky player there. Theo Riddick, like him as a depth running back. He's got Hoyer there as a safety net. He likes Ted Ginn. We'll talk to him about that in the next segment. James White, Darren Sproles, Devontae Booker, Chiefs defense? Or is that kicker? Is that a kicker? I can't tell. Is there no team defense in this? No team defense.
No, there are. It says someone took...
Oh, there it is. The Chiefs. No kicker. Got it. It's just a weird...
Yeah, K-Chiefs.
All right. I don't know. It looks like Chiefs kicker when I'm reading
okay,
it
okay, Mike? Have some more fruit.
Yeah. I. Okay. All right. I'm trying to be good, George, and you're...
How hot is it in that studio?
Very. Matt Modica just talked to the powers that be to try to get this fixed so he doesn't lose tons of weight during this next broadcast. But in any event, that's Modica's team.
He doesn't have a way in on September 9th?
You're saying he's banking on Andrew Luck. I tend to agree, but I really like the way he was able to rally with the wide receivers after not drafting one early. I'll pick one other person, our former colleague... Adam Ronis. He goes Julio Jones, middle of the first round, then Jay Ajayi, then Brandon Cooks, Matt Stafford, his first quarterback in the fourth round. He comes back with Andy Dalton. So his quarterback combo of Matt Stafford and Andy Dalton, you have a problem there?
Yes. I mean, it's dangerous. Stafford, Dalton, they're really in the more the 15 to 20 range, so they're all both quarterback twos. He needs at least one to pay off here. When I look at Adam's team, yeah, he took injury chance at the first two guys, right? We already talked about Julio Jones, the foot injury. Jay Ajayi, there's rumors now that he had a setback in the concussion protocol. That's why he wasn't on the practice field yesterday. So that's a big concern here. Once again, I think he'll be fine for week one. But concussion, running back, they lead with their heads. Are you really going to try and convince me that Ajayi's going to play all 16 games this season and not have another concussion? Not buying it, man. Not buying it at all. I'm dropping Ajayi in my rankings. He's going to go to a running back two for me, not a running back one.
As we continue down, he goes Tyreek Hill, Jimmy Graham, Spencer Ware. Is that John Brown there? And then, gosh, is it Johnson? I don't know who that is. Duke Johnson in PPR league. So, man, Ronis really went the risk route on this team.
He did.
Marvin Jones, Samaje Perine, Gio Bernard, Tyler Lockett, Kenny Galladay. Man, there are too many guys that have to
love
pay
Galladay,
off here.
By the way,
I know that's you like that as a yeah. It's his 15th pick, and he's got the Vikings defense, but he really went the risk route. And this is really averse to the way I would draft. It doesn't mean that Adam's wrong. I just would have way too many question marks going into the season if I'm him.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had him thought to do a risk draft to see take a whole bunch of high-end players, a couple of guys pay off, you know, it becomes much easier. It's dangerous for me to do this. I would not have done it this way. Yeah, to me, it's too many things have to go right for him to compete, so I wouldn't. Like I said, Jones, Ajayi, even Cooks is a risk. Stafford, Dalton, fine. Hill, we all know how he's a risk. Graham, I like. Spencer Ware, who knows what you're going to get from him. John Brown, and the 16 players, I see like 12 of them are risks.
Yeah, risk all over the place. Risk to injury, risk to job security, and the whole nine. So maybe he turns over the roster a lot during the season. We're going to come back to talk with Matt Modica about his draft after this. It's Mike and George closing out the Roto Experts. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica joining us right now in order to defend his draft yesterday, George. So we got to give him the goods. He's here. He's going to be here from 9 to 12 doing Fantasy Football Gold with Tony Sincotta. After that, Al Melchior from FanRag Fantasy Baseball. He may or may not have an update with Bryce Harper at that point. I would suggest that Matt and Tony are both heavily involved in baseball. They'll give you a quick update during Fantasy Football Gold if we hear anything on Bryce Harper. So, as Matt said yesterday on Twitter, it's just not good for baseball. It doesn't matter if you're a Nationals fan, you own him in fantasy, it's bad news when Bryce Harper is hurt like that. So, we'll see what the extent of that injury is. Well, Matt, welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow, like it's the first time he's done
Harper
this.
The whole Harper thing, I'm not hearing anything, that's why.
Okay.
The whole Harper thing is really sad. I mean, fantasy isn't the issue right now. It's all about baseball and stuff like that. So I'm just hoping for the best, because what it sounds like, it sounds terrible, yeah, if this is true. But moving ahead to yesterday.
Did you see it?
Yeah, no, I saw it. And now everybody's going to say we shouldn't
play. That looked awful, man.
We shouldn't play any games in the rain anymore now because he got hurt.
It was a 3-hour and 1-minute rain
delay.
That was
crazy.
The bag was conceivably
wet. He slipped on the base. It was like there was a swimming pool in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, look, that could happen at any point. I guess the base could be a little bit slicker because of the rain, but these guys play thousands of games in this, and stuff like that doesn't happen.
Exactly. You know, it's unfortunate and stuff, but
So your draft, we talked about it a little bit earlier. LeSean McCoy goes in the first round. George said he would have taken Mike Evans over LeSean McCoy. You want to defend that first?
Well, this was a half point PPR.
It's a half point.
Okay. Yeah, and LeSean McCoy, to me, look, I love Evans, and I usually do go with the receivers, but I wanted to get it back. Being that this was an industry draft, I figured running backs were really going to go heavy, along with the quarterbacks due to the format. And this guy should catch a ton of passes, especially now that Sammy Watkins is gone from Buffalo. So that's why I took McCoy there. And in the next round, I went with Wilson for two reasons. One is...
This is Russell Wilson, by the way.
Yes,
fourth quarterback off the board. He took Russell Wilson over the likes of Mariota, Ryan, Cousins, etc.
Yeah, Mariota's not even a thought for me here. I mean, Cousins I do love, but Matt Ryan, as great as he is, he went from 21 touchdowns to 39 touchdowns. There's going to be some regression there. I don't have the stat, but I believe I saw it on Twitter. I mean, how many seasons prior to last year was he a top 8 quarterback? Go back. Somebody needs to put that out. I didn't have the time this morning. Russell, being that it's a four-point league, Russell Wilson rushes as well. So if he gets 40 yards, that's an extra touchdown. That's the Chris Vaccaro philosophy. So in that kind of a format, I was definitely on that. I wanted a quarterback early. With luck, it's a gamble. But everybody says if he's not there week one, he's out 6 games. That's not necessarily true. If he's out for a game or two, like Dr. A says, he should be fine by week 3. So if I got to start Hoyer for 1 or 2 games, I'm fine with that.
Okay. George, what do you got for Matt?
Sammy Watkins. I love how you still got him, Matt.
You know what, George? At that point, my receivers were just... I had to go for upside, and I got bailed out by getting Fitzgerald and Garcon.
Big time.
I did get bailed out by that.
Big time. That is so clutch.
Are you okay, Matt, though? I mean, I was worried about you on Friday.
The Rams are my new NFC team. The Bills are on double secret probation.
Yeah, look, we could do 2 hours on this, so you're going to have to boil it down into like 30 seconds.
It's outrageous. They got a second round pick. If they would have lost him, what do they get? I think they get a third round compensatory pick. Yeah. You know what? At least package a third round and Sammy and get a first round. He's been banged up, but as Ian Rappaport tweeted, look at the first 3 years of Julio Jones, who missed 11 games 1 year, and Sammy Watkins. The stats are identical.
Matt's not happy, folks. You're going to hear 3 hours of Bill's anger. He's got LeSean McCoy, though. He can't stop drafting Bills, even if they're on team anymore. Jared Goff, we'll see what happens. Thanks for listening for the last 2 hours. George and I will be back next Saturday. You got Fantasy Football Gold with Matt Modica and Tony Sagata now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.